So Jesus, we just thank you. We just thank you for what you're doing in this community. We thank you for what you're doing in this house. We thank you for what you're doing in the marriages here. And the body and what that changes in families. And what the inheritance that the kids get from that. All the praise to you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Okay. So we had this, you know, we spent time this last week. God, what do you want us to share about? What do you want us to speak on? And we thought, uh-oh, we've been walking through some stuff ourselves about managing the devil. Managing the enemy and his attacks versus kicking him the heck out. And we thought, yes, let's talk on that. That's it. And this morning in my shower time, that's where I spend a lot of time with Holy Spirit under the water and just invite the Lord into my day. I hear really clearly, you know, you can share that and it'll be great. You'll bless them. It's a great message. But that's not what I'm doing. And I want you to release what I'm doing. I want you to talk about transparency, vulnerability, and intimacy. Like, okay, all that study, okay. I said yes. That's the position I try to continually be in, is to say yes. Even when it's uncomfortable. Even when I'm like, but I was prepared for this. And we just lean in and say, all right, Lord, all right, yes, what do you want us to share? That is a message that we walk out in our heart as well. And it's something I feel like all the couples that were in the Lamb Workshop actually got a taste and got to experience and encounter what real intimacy looks like. And that's actually the word we kept hearing over the workshop as we prayed about it ahead of time. We kept hearing intimacy, 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 and community. Okay, God, what are you going to do? And we've watched couples step into that place of just being surface and friends, with even some people not knowing each other, being complete strangers, and step into vulnerability and intimacy. So it really ties into what's been happening in this house throughout this workshop. And those of you that aren't even there, guess what? You get to inherit it too. You get to receive it as well. Like, you don't miss out because you weren't there. So with that being said, the first thing that I want to read to you, actually, is if we look back at creation, if we look back at the way God designed us, he actually created us for intimacy. So I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. And if you think about it, you know, God created everything, and then there he is with Adam, and they're walking together, and Adam has only God, and he's got all of God whenever he wants all of God, but there's times when the Lord's not there in the garden with him, and yet he was designed for this intimate relationship with the Lord, and God says in chapter 18, it is not good that man should be alone. I'm like, wow, but we all say, oh, our relationship with God is first. And yes, and our relationship with God is the most important. And yes, but that's not all. We were actually created for intimacy outside of just that relationship. And God says, I will make him a helpmate suitable for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible to him. The word helper actually translates to, lost the word in Hebrew. It's like it's partner, it's co-reigning. It's not, I'm your subservient person who just takes a back seat and serves you. It's actually, I'm equal to. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds, I did read that, of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. As he slept, he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he fashioned into woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, remember how he got to name all the animals and everything? Here's Adam actually prophesying over woman into her being and who she is. And Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So if you look at that scripture, we were created for oneness. We weren't just created in the image of God. Our marriage, our relationships with our spouse was created in the image of God. We were created to have oneness, to have spiritual, emotional, and physical intimacy with one another in the same manner that we had that with Christ, with God, originally. The same thing goes for stepping out into our community and our relationships. Is we're actually created to have vulnerability and intimacy, and we'll talk about that in a minute, with other people. The physical intimacy obviously is created for within marriage, but outside of that, intimacy within community, within the church body. Again, if you look at the church body and what the scripture says about the body, we're all part of it. We're all parts of parts. Chop off your arm, you don't work as well. Chop off your leg, you got a little struggle. So we're all there, and even all the little muscles and tendons, everything is necessary to make the body function, and there's an intimate connection. There's vulnerability, there's trust, there's more to that in a minute, but Phil is going to share something.
So I was just sitting here listening to Jen. You know, this goes beyond the four walls, too. I just hear God saying that he's really breathing on the whole subject of transparency, vulnerability, and intimacy. Like, what does that look like in our normal day lives? What does that look like in our workplace? You know, we go to work, and I'll just share part of my testimony of what that looked like. I was a police officer for many years, and I would go to work, and I would be a completely different person. And then I would come home, and then I'd be daddy, and I would be husband, and then turn around and go right back to work, and then be this other guy. Instead of stepping into that transparency and vulnerability and intimacy with the people that matter in our lives, and when you're walking in that, people are drawn to you, and they don't know why, but you're walking in a freedom. It's actually freeing. I think that's the big key that the Lord is really wanting to get across. When you walk in that, you're walking in the light. So with that, in the book of John, there are several references of God creating oneness. And in that oneness, there's wholeness in the Father and the Godhead. Becoming born of the water and the Spirit through a new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's from John 3:5. Yeah, he's just created us. Man. And I just want to share, we were in Redding, California about a month or probably 2 months. Yeah, July. Sorry, a little bit longer. And one of the pastors there, Donna Da Silva, was talking about shoring up your banks. Shoring up the banks of your river. And the water, she equated it to, the water is free-flowing. That's the Holy Spirit. And on one side of the bank is Jesus, and the other side of the bank is Father God. And when we flow, I love Holy Spirit, so I can flow with him and very freely and operate in that. But if your banks aren't shored up, what happens to the river? It tends to run freely and run over and flood. And so, you know, how does that go with transparency, vulnerability, and intimacy? Shoring up your banks and being solid in your foundation with God, there's a trust in that. And for me, when I was listening to that message, I'm like, man, this is just awesome. And I was just soaking it all in. And then all of a sudden, I could hear the audible voice of the Lord say, hey, Phil, you know Holy Spirit. I'm like, yeah, I do. I love flowing with him. We have a great time. And he said, well, you know my son really, really well too. Yes, love Jesus. And then he said, but you don't trust me very well. And I was like, I started to kind of argue, well, no, that's not necessarily true. I trust you really well. And then, you know, of course, examples come. And then him just showing me that you're very self-sufficient. And being self-sufficient does not equate with transparency, vulnerability, and intimacy very well. Because there's no trust there. And so he showed me that, yeah, you give me things. You pray about things. And then you feel like, hey, this is the thought in my mind as he's showing me. It's like, okay, I give him stuff, and then I take it back. Because I feel like he's not moving quickly enough on it. And so then that's where the self-sufficiency steps in. So with that, Jen's going to share a little more about what she got from that sermon. But it's just really important to, you know, shore up your banks. Be solid in your foundation. That allows trust to come in. You know, when we trust here, we're able to trust here.
Good. That was an interesting time for both of us that were hearing this message, and in it, God's doing something really deep, really big that we didn't even quite fully understand. So while Donna's talking about, you know, the move of the Spirit, and it's great, and we want to flow in that, and there's freedom there, at the same time, the value of having your banks shored up. And you know, we didn't have this conversation there in the message or right immediately afterwards. It was with over a few days as we're processing, what did we just hear? What did God just teach each of us and speak to each of us in the same message? I love that he gives everybody different things that are what they need to hear. So while she's talking about that and shoring up your banks, and Phil mentions that self-sufficiency thing, because I'm like, yep, love Holy Spirit. Yep, I know Jesus. Yep, I love Daddy God. There used to be a point in my life where I couldn't call God my Father. I couldn't call him Daddy God. Unfortunately, my earthly example of a father was how I interpreted the Father. And my earthly example wasn't real great. And so that affected how I saw and how I experienced the Father. But I'm like, yep, I'm real great. And I've had a lot of healing in that over, you know, the years, a lot of growth in that. And I can call him Daddy God. One of the first things that ever made me aware with that, I don't know why I'm going to share this with you, but I am. We bought this little tiny chihuahua. We got a little chihuahua, and she jumped out of my hands. And she's seven now, so this was about 7-8 years ago. She jumped out of my hands onto a tile floor, and her head was all kind of got a lump on it, and she was looked like her leg was hurt, and I was just heartbroken. We'd just gotten her that day. We were looking at a friend's new house, and I was heartbroken, and I'm crying, and I'm like, I think we need to go. I think we need to get her to the vet, and I don't know where to get her to the vet, and it's 9 o'clock on a Friday night, and I'm just kind of having this moment. And our boys are in the back of the car, and they're like, Mom, let's pray for her. And our boys are, at this point, I think, 3rd and 5th grade, and they're like, let's just pray for her. Jesus will heal her. And I'm like, thinking, you know, in my head. And they start praying for her. I could not pray for her. I could not pray. I had no faith that God, my Father, my Heavenly Father, cared about the things I cared about, that he'd come and heal my little dog. So we took her home, and, you know, the boys prayed over her. We took her home. I kind of woke her up a couple times through the night, checking on her. And first thing in the morning, our oldest boy comes running upstairs. Mom, how's Minnie? How's Minnie? And she just jumps out of the little bed, and she trots off. She's perfectly fine. And I'm like, wow. Let's go. And we went to church, and we're sitting in church, and I think it happens to be Father's Day weekend, and so the message was about fathers. And I realize I am interpreting the Lord through my circumstances, which we all have lenses. We all do that sort of stuff. And I'm like, my experience was taking things to my Father, and he would say, throw them away. They don't matter. If it was broke or needed fixing, who cares? Everything was disposable, even us. So that was what I expected the Father to be. So I couldn't even call him Father. And at that moment, my heart got changed. My heart saw the Lord in a different place. Oh my gosh, you cared about my dog. And this little dog, he's healed her a few times. Been pretty funny. So I'm like, yep, I know God. I know you as my Father. You're my Daddy. I know Jesus. I'm good. And the Lord speaks in my ear, and he whispers, and he says, but you know what? You're really self-sufficient. And I was like, ugh. And he started showing me different areas of my life where I was self-sufficient. I'm a baby, not the oldest child. That kind of tends to be common with an oldest, but we're both babies. But he was showing me places where I'd become very self-sufficient. And I realized, just like Donna said, self-sufficiency becomes a bully. It keeps us from going to the Father. Because I got it. I don't need you. I'm good. I'll take care of it. You don't do it right, I'm going to do it my way. And I was like, oh, wow. So Daddy God, I want to lay it all down. I want to know you more fully. I want to be a son, a daughter. I want to know you more fully in that respect. What does it look like to really be a daughter that trusts you in everything? And over the next couple days, he's showing me more. That's what he does. And he's like, hey, here's this other picture he gave me, and I love this picture. And it kind of explains how I guess I got to where my Father portion of the Godhead had diminished a little bit. Is he's like, you know, think of your body. Here's you and Jesus. my relationship with Jesus is rock solid. He's great. He's my friend. We can all go to Jesus. You know, he's forgiving. He's done all that work on the cross for us. Everything he's done is for me. Victory. Yep, I know Jesus and I'm solid and I stand in that. And then he's like, and you got this great big arm over here. It's like a Popeye arm of Holy Spirit. You've been running after Holy Spirit, which I had no understanding of 7 years prior. I mean, we heard about Holy Ghost in church, and he kind of seemed scary because he was a ghost, but he was holy and didn't understand. It was never talked about. So last 7 years, I got this great big arm, this Popeye arm of Holy Spirit. Great understanding. And he's like, but there's this other one over here. It's kind of weak. And that's your daddy God. You're out of balance. I was like, okay, I get it, I get it. I must spend more time to balance all of them. I love that verse in John 3 that Phil talked about where it says the water and the Spirit through the new birth, we become baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's really a connection to the Godhead because he originally is talking about connection to the Father, and you connect fully to the Father with the Spirit. So it's all three of them, and they all have different roles, and they're all equally valuable. And we need to be intimate with all parts of who God is. That's how he created us to be. So that was kind of what came out of that. And in this process, that was back in July, and in this process of continuing, you know, we work in a ministry called Nothing Hidden. So vulnerability and transparency is where we live, we think. And God's just always got more. And as he's peeling the layers back over the last few months, he really starts to talk to me about the differences between transparency, vulnerability, and ultimately intimacy, which is what we were created for. And we live in a world right now where we are the most technologically connected generations ever. We can go on any kind of social media, Instagram, Periscope, Facebook, Skype, whatever, you know, and it's all out there. And we think we're living connected. And it's a lie. We're not. We saw this thing in a store. Y'all celebrate harvest festivals, which is great. United States celebrates Halloween a whole lot. Saw this little sign in a store. I don't know if you guys do in Canada or not, but saw this sign that said, why don't you try going as the person you pretend to be on Facebook for your costume this year? It was like, oh, ouch, you know, ouch. That because Facebook is one of those places that personally I really struggle with. I try to do the vulnerability thing, and then you get blasted. You know, it just creates so much confrontation and conflict. And so it's really not an avenue for vulnerability. It'd be amazing if it was. But what it's done is it's disconnected us from this. It's disconnected us from the face-to-face. And we've created this false sense of who we are and who other people are. We used to always tell our kids, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. Well, you can't believe everything you see on social media either. You know, we don't connect over our pretty little pictures of us reading our Bible and having our morning coffee and, you know, our devotion time. We connect over face to face. Getting messy. People are messy. But God doesn't care because he's bigger than all the mess. And actually getting messy and muddy is a little fun. So as he's talking to me about transparency, he shows me this example of a picture of, imagine you're going to the zoo. You know, first it was all the social media stuff. And the second thing he showed me is you go to a zoo. And you're looking at the animals, and they're on the other side of the glass. So you can see everything, and maybe you're even seeing things that you shouldn't see. animals pooping, doing whatever. You know, you're seeing things that really you shouldn't be seeing. But there's this glass there. There's no access. I can't touch what I'm seeing. It can't touch me. It has no interaction with my heart. It's just there and I just see it. And he says, you know, a lot of my kids keep their own glass between me and them. And they look at me through this box, through this glass box of thinking who I am, and they don't actually touch me and encounter me and experience me because they're just being transparent. So then he says, vulnerability is actually a two-way street. Vulnerability says, I'm going to take my heart out of my chest and I'm going to hand it to you. And he now has the opportunity to handle it and to hold it and to treat it with care or to drop it and break it. He also, with me handing in my heart, he has the opportunity to speak into my life. So it's a two-way street. There's more to it as far as what that takes to do it, and we'll kind of talk about that in just a minute. But that's the difference between transparency and vulnerability. Transparency is, yeah, everything's great, looks good, awesome, let's go on. And vulnerability is, nope, here's my heart, and you know what? You have a chance to break it or not. And doing that with your kids, I'm telling you, mamas and daddies, as some of you probably know, that's a whole nother level of challenge because kids are messy. They're professional mistake makers. And let them make all the mistakes they can while they're at home, you know, where they've got you to help them, to guide them. But then give them your heart again. Don't just keep it. When we hold on to our hearts and we don't give them, we tend to operate in the lie that God's not going to protect us. I got to protect myself, or this person isn't going to protect me. I've got to protect myself. They hurt me. I got to protect myself. And we build walls and walls and walls. And before you know it, even if they're glass, that glass that was an inch is now 10 inches thick. And there's no access. So vulnerability takes risk. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to give your heart to your spouse fully sometimes when you've been hurt. When we don't, though, we're putting our trust in a worldly system because we're placing it on the person instead of putting it to God. Like Phil said, when we're trusting here, we can choose to trust out here. Anything you want to add there?
The thing that was kind of just resonating, going back to like social media, being intentional about going after the intimacy. So for us, even with our, we have a 26-year-old daughter. She doesn't live with us. And then we have two teenage sons. But with them, we've become really intentional, and we call it the no phone zone. So because we literally just began to notice at times all of us would be in the same room, and we'd all be on our phones or our iPads. And it was disturbing to actually, I mean, literally, like, my two sons in their bedrooms texting each other from across the hall. And then my youngest son calling me from upstairs to downstairs, hey, Dad, can you bring me? I'm like, really? I mean, and that's just real. And so we get comfortable with that. That's like that piece of glass that you put between you and your family. And so just an example of what we intentionally had to do to go after vulnerability and intimacy is to say, hey, our phones go over here and the iPad goes over here, and we're going to be real with one another. And that whole part is, yeah, people are messy, you know. People make mistakes. You know, my sons, their brains fall out all the time. But like Jen said, I would much rather them do that in our house with us and learn how to clean it up and come to us and know that there's safety and that there's an intimacy there, that it's okay to come to mom and dad. And because I don't know, I'll just speak for myself. You know, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised in the fact that you should already know how to do something and don't come to me with problems. You figure it out on your own. And as a young boy, that's a lot of pressure. I had older brothers and sister, and, you know, not a lot of help there. It's like, figure it out, you know, figure it out. So just trusting the whole, I mean, I go back to that too. Trust is a big part of transparency and of vulnerability, but also, you know, people are going to make mistakes, and there's two ways to respond with that, folks. You know, you can respond out of love, or you respond with fear and anger and all its little friends that come along with it.
And we all just sang a song about not being slaves to fear anymore. So, you know, that is our choice. We could either respond or react in fear or in love. And while he was talking about our boys and just how we've gotten really intentional over the last few months of going after vulnerability with them, it's been interesting how the Lord has allowed different things, different circumstances and situations to come up. And one of the most recent ones that while he was talking, it was like, oh, wow, you need to share that because this has been a really good learning thing, even for me, you know, mostly for me. We were having a conversation with our younger son. He's 16 and a half. And he had started to have some interest in a young lady. And this young gal, she's a sweet young gal, she had a bit of a relationship with her older boy early this spring and early summer. And he was ready to pursue dating with her. Didn't go that direction. She ended up coming to him and saying, yeah, I'm not ready to date and yada yada. And she wasn't truthful in all of that, but that's a whole sidetrack squirrel story, so I'm not going to go there. The thing was is our younger son is now interested in this young lady. During the time that she was with our interacting and in relationship with our older son, I wouldn't call it dating because they weren't, but they hung out a lot. There were just some things that, you know, she's immature, she's young. We don't tell our boys you can't date. We haven't been real legalistic about dating or anything like that. But we constantly talk with them about, like, what's the purpose of dating? What is your purpose at this age? Because relationships aren't disposable. And I feel like the culture of dating in the Western civilization is, you don't fit kind of what I want, so off with you, on to the next one. And that perpetuates even into marriage. And with our divorce rate. So it's like, hey, what's the purpose? So that's kind of where our background on dating has been. So we're having this conversation as he's expressing interest and bringing up, can I date? What does it look like? How do we do that? And he says to me, so mom, if dating is for marriage or to pursue that kind of a relationship that you're considering, even this is someone I want to marry, what, how do I learn how to do that stuff without dating? How do I learn how to do relationship like that? And I was like, wow, that's a really good question. Let me think on it. Let me ask the Lord about that. That's one of the things I've learned. I do not have to have all the answers right away. I used to think I did. I used to think I needed to know. And when I didn't, I felt insecure. I felt inferior. I felt like I'm not a good mom, you know. And now I'm like, it's okay for me to say, I don't know. And you know what? That is a really good question. Let's come back to that. Let's table it. Another thing I've learned, if there's not blood or broken bones, you can table most anything, but you got to come back to it. So a couple days went by and I'm like, hey, can we talk? I've heard some stuff from the Lord on this and on the question you asked, and it was such a good question. I really want to honor you and answer that question truthfully, not with rules, not with you have to's and this and that. We made a lot of those mistakes with our oldest daughter, and we've become different parents. So I'm having this conversation with him, and I said, you know what the Lord showed me is he showed me that you learn how to do that in your family. You learn how to be vulnerable in your family, with your parents, with your brother, with your sister, with your immediate and even extended family and community. And as you learn how to do that here, when the timing is right for you to do that in an exclusive relationship, which that's what I feel dating is for, is an exclusive relationship. So what's the point as a teenager? You know, you'll be able to do it, and you'll be able to do it with honor. And you'll be able to do that at a place where you're not taking a relationship further than it's supposed to go. And he realized that as he listened and he told us, he was listening to understand instead of listening to defend himself and listening to change our minds and convince us that he should be able to date. He said, I get it. I get it. I need to be having a position where I'm inviting you into the stuff in my life, and I'm not so independent that I'm the teenager trying to break away, which there's some of that that's normal. We want our kids to stand on their own. But again, another shift for me was understanding, coming to the place of God telling me, I want my kids to be interdependent, not independent. Independent is that self-sufficient orphan over here who can do everything on their own. Interdependent is in relationship. And he sat there and he listened and he heard it. And he's like, I hear what you're saying. I need to learn how to do that here. And so the more what I hear you saying, Mom, is the more vulnerable I can be with you and Dad, the more I can let you into my life. To tell you what I'm thinking and I'm feeling, even when it's uncomfortable and hard, then the more I'm going to be prepared for it down the road. Yep. He still wanted to date this girl for a little bit. He still kind of went back to that. And then again, he came to the other place. We had some more conversations. And he's like, switch. Just flipped really quickly. And I said, okay, how did you go from here to there really fast? And he goes, well, I realized I was listening to defend myself and to get what I wanted instead of listening to understand what you were saying. So I chose to listen to understand. Wow. Wow. My kids blow me away. He's 16 and a half. He's an amazing young man. So is the 18-year-old and our 26-year-old as well. But that is how we learn to do intimacy. That is how we learn to be vulnerable. We really felt the Lord saying that was something he wanted to release here in this body, in this community. I feel like there's one more thing. We do that a lot. We do that in the workshops too. Or we're just chatting back and forth. Hey, Holy Spirit, saying this. Are you tracking? Well, all of the couples that are in the Lamb workshop stand up again. These guys are champions. I want you to look around the room. Yeah. Seriously. These couples have embraced this level of intimacy by being vulnerable about stuff they probably never even shared before and sharing it in a room full of 40 people. And I feel like there may be one or two of you that real quickly would like to just share how that's changed you in the last 3 days. And I invite you to come up real quick. Yeah. Because I can tell you some of the stuff that happened, but it's so much better to hear it from them.
Quite easily, I can say that everything that was said this morning by Phil and Jen was exactly what I needed to do, was to be transparent and to not think that 6'4", 200-pound guy doesn't need God. I don't care if you're the size of Goliath. You need God in your life. And that's where I failed. That's where our marriage fell apart. And from there, these two people, the blessing of the good Lord, good soldiers, brought us back together. It's a restart and a kickstart and a kick in my behind.
Yeah, this has been a pretty hard road to be on. As I don't know if everyone knows, but about 5 months ago, I had left Steve. And basically, he had me kicking and screaming coming here to the workshop on, we missed Friday, but we came Saturday, and, it was Friday, whatever, yeah, first day, and I was like, I don't know, and just put the trust in Lord, and he's changed. He's changed my heart. He's changed Steve's heart. And, you know, we prayed last night for our family because my family is really against what he has done to our marriage. And my son even will have nothing to do with me because of that. And so it's been a hard, hard road. My son is only 19, but he's been gone for the last 5 years, and I've spent half a Christmas day with him in those 5 years, and hardly any time with him. And that's his choice, not mine. And that's been, and he's my only child, so that makes it extremely hard for me. We prayed, like I said last night, about changing our family's hearts and softening it, because we feel that God has shown us that He is going to bring our family, because 90% of them, or actually more than that, probably 99% of them, are not followers. Some of them don't believe at all. And God has shown us that He's going to bring them to Him.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
So.
Come on. Yeah. And how Jesus comes to us is through vulnerability. He wasn't the one with all the laws. Man did that. Yeah. And so through your love and through your vulnerability that came, that got reignited, that's what's going to bring him back. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing, guys. That right there. Yeah, that right there is vulnerability, folks. To stand up in the church and to know that there's not judgment, there's not persecution, there's not accusation, there's not blame, there's not being ostracized, but instead there's Jesus. And he accepts us and he loves us. He receives us as broken as we are. He doesn't send us out. And he just says, I love you. I love you where you're at. You want to wrap it up?
Just one more thing that God was kind of showing me about with transparency and vulnerability and intimacy. You know, God is just really looking for people to say yes. He doesn't have this big, long list of requirements and all these hoops that you have to jump through. He's just wanting people to be vulnerable with him and to want a relationship and to just say yes. And that can be scary. But it's also very, again, it's also very freeing and comforting to know when you say yes to him and to what you're saying yes to. I mean, that opens up the doors to many, many wonderful things. We're a living testament of that.
When your yes is yes, and it's you let your yes be really big, you don't have to worry about your no. So like when you say yes and that's your focus, you don't have to worry about what your no is. That just falls in place. So you're not running around going, no, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. Because I said yes first, and it's bigger.
Okay. So just to kind of wrap it up, you know, there's three things that kind of go along with this. There's emotional risk. And that requires us of letting go of control and putting trust in God and not people. It requires us to step into his presence. We have to be willing and not be afraid of the uncertainty. We can't control others or even God. As we step into his presence, we learn, we see, we get to know him and become comfortable with him and with uncertainty, which moves us into trust. And then you begin to create a history with God. He never fails us. He's good all the time. And all the time he's good. And the last thing is, it requires us to be exposed. Just like Adam and Eve. They were naked and exposed. And then the devil came along and told them it was wrong. You know? We want to challenge you guys to step beyond transparency, or step into transparency, vulnerability, and intimacy, and to trust the Father, and to trust the process. Because folks, we're all in a process. You know, there's many times I think, oh, Can we just be done with the process? But in actuality, as my grandma would say, if you're done with the process, it's time to go home. And there's a whole lot more that I know that God has for my wife and I, and for my family, and for all of you.
So with that, we felt during worship this morning that we actually wanted to kind of end our time together with inviting you, like Phil said, inviting you into that place to challenge you to go beyond transparency and push into vulnerability and intimacy. And we want to do a little bit of ministry. We like to activate. So if all y'all will stand up. Join hands with your neighbor, put hands on your neighbor, however you want to do it. We want to invite you to actually pray for your neighbor. So join with us. Father God, we thank you for your heart. We thank you that your desire is so for us. It's more for us than our heart is for you. Our understanding is so limited to your capacity and your ability to love and pursue us. So we invite you for our neighbor to pursue them and for them to pursue you in new ways, new levels, that you would open new doors of intimacy. That you would bring people into their lives, God. That you would open the doors where they actually see, oh, this is a chance. This is an opportunity for me to risk. This is a place where I get to be naked and seen. And I get to see somebody else. Because my trust is in you, God, I can do that. So we pray for each one of these people in this room. And you guys, go ahead and just pray for your neighbor. Just pray out loud for your neighbor. Invite heaven to touch them. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We pray that this church become a refuge, of safety, connection, community like this town has never seen. That people walk through the doors and they feel your presence and love, God. Now go ahead and drop your hands and put your hand on your own heart. I'm going to pray for the most important one next to you. Jesus. Jesus. We want more. I want more. To expose every place in our heart, Lord, that we need to grow closer to you. Would you expose every place there's a lie? Every place there's deception or there's a glass wall, even a thin veil, Lord, that's separating me from you. Father God, that I can feel your love as a daughter and a son. That I have no fear in coming to you as my daddy. And that you're such a good, good daddy. Holy Spirit, that as I seek you, I learn to flow with you. And the freedom of the banks of the river that are strong and stable and grounded between Jesus and Daddy God. Holy Spirit, you operate with abandon in me. Jesus, I pray for more intimacy with you, but also with my spouse or the community and the community around me and in this body of Christ, in this church, that we become the church not just in these walls, but in this community. And that as we go out in the community, we bring your presence because we intimately know you and you know us. And with that, we get to impact a community, which then will impact a nation. We will be transformed people, and they will know we are Christians by our love. Yeah. Amen.
Well, thank you so very much. That was awesome. That was excellent. Thank you. We're going to invite the ushers to come up at this time. We're just going to wait upon you for a special love offering for Phil and Jenny. And Ken and Linda, are you here? Ken and Linda. We're just going to ask the Lord's blessing on this offering. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share in the ministry of Phil and Jenny. We ask your blessing on this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Give generously as we support this ministry.
Amen. Well, I'll get you to stand and join us in worship. And I just got an image.